is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 25th of January, 2010. It's the birthday of Virginia Woolf, born Virginia Stephen in London, 1882. Never went to school. Her father chose books for her to read from his own library. She was only allowed to move out of the family home after her father died, when she was 22. Wrote literary criticism for the Times Literary Supplement, then fiction. Virginia Woolf believed that the Victorian novelists had focused too much on clothing, what people wore, what people ate, the things they did. She thought the most mysterious aspect of human beings was not their possessions, their habits, but their interior emotions and their thoughts. In 1922, she began to read the work of Marcel Proust, and that moved her to write her first masterpiece, Mrs. Dalloway. All the thoughts that pass through the mind of a middle-aged woman on the day she gives a party. Virginia Woolf said, "So long as you write what you wish to write, that is all that matters, and whether it matters for ages or only for hours, nobody can say, but to sacrifice a hair of the head of your vision, a shade of its color, in deference to some headmaster with a silver pot in his hand or to some professor with a measuring rod up his sleeve, is the most abject treachery." And it's the birthday of the poet who wrote the best-laid schemes of mice and men gang oft aglay. The Bard of Ayrshire, the ploughman poet, Rabbi Burns, Robert Burns, born today, 1759, in Alloway, Scotland. Here's a poem for today by George Bilgear, entitled The Ineffable. I'm sitting here reading the paper, feeling warm and satisfied, basically content with my life and all I have achieved. Then I go up for a refill and suddenly realize how much happier I could be with the barista. Late 30s, hennaed hair, an ankh or something tattooed on her ankle, a little silver ring in her nostril. There's some mystery surrounding why she's here pouring coffee and toasting bagels at her age. But there's a lot of torsion when she walks, which is interesting. I can sense right away how it would all work out between us. We'd get a loft in the artsy part of town, and I can see how we'd look shopping together at our favorite organic market on a snowy winter Saturday, snowflakes in our hair, our arms full of leeks and shiitake mushrooms. We'd do tai chi in the park. She'd be one of the few people who actually gets my poetry, which I'd read to her in bed. And I can see us making love by candlelight, struggling to find words for the ineffable. We never dreamed it could be like this. And would all be great for many months, until one day, unable to help myself, I'd say something about that nostril ring, like, "Do you really need to wear that tonight at Sarah and Mike's house?" Sarah and Mike being pediatricians who intimidate me slightly with their patrician cool and serious money. And she would give me a look, a certain lifting of the eyebrows I can see she's capable of. And right there, that would be the end of the ineffable. The Ineffable, a poem by George Bilgear from the White Museum, published by Autumn House Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine. Student and gift subscriptions are available at poetryfoundation.org. And by Constant Contact, helping small businesses stay connected to their customers with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. Over 300,000 small businesses and nonprofits use ConstantContact.com. Produced by Kathy Roach and written by Margaret Bain. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch. Hello, it's Garrison Keillor inviting you to join us for a special Cinecast performance of A Prairie Home Companion, Thursday, February 4th at a movie theater near you. You can get more information at prairiehome.org.